Thanks, Doug. I'd like to acknowledge my collaborator, Dennis Thompson, not only for his contribution to this talk, but for creative collaboration over the last 10 years and a tremendous amount of effort on the development of these some of these site concepts. Sites are groups of soil series that behave similarly, and that's about the broadest definition that we can work from. They're really important because whether it's a forest site, a rangeland site, an ecological site, however we want to phrase that, they're an important framework for organizing and distributing information. They form the basis for management decisions and for assessments. It's really important that we take time at this point to look back at the history and see what we can learn. We're in a period of rapid change right now, and when we get into periods of rapid change, it's always important, I think, to look back, because you could easily make the same mistakes that you made earlier if you don't take some historical perspective. Without a doubt, the biggest influence on our concepts of sites, whether it's range sites, forest sites, ecological sites, however you want to phrase it, has been the influence of Frederick Clements. Frederick Clements is the premier plant ecologist of the 20th century. He was a student of Charles Bessie at the University of Nebraska. Bessie, for those of you who aren't botanists, was the botanist of the 20th century. He developed the botanical classification, taxonomic classification system. I think that may be our first lesson to learn, is that an over-adherence to a taxonomic system can often get you into trouble when you're trying to classify ecological systems. So Clements was Bessie's student. And Clements was very impressed, and not only student, but collaborator. Clements graduated from the University of Nebraska in about 1898 with his PhD, and at that time started to develop what became known as Clementsian ecology, which is essentially a very elaborate classification scheme that relied heavily on the regional climate as the control over vegetation dynamic and vegetation systems in an area. And then he went on to develop a very elaborate and complicated scheme of classifying variability within that regional climate according to time series development. And he viewed the plant formation as an organism. Many of the most recent writings that have examined Clementsian ecology and sort of how it rose so quickly to wide acceptance and how we've kind of gone through this period of rejection. Now, I've actually called Clements a neo-Lamarckian, and that was that this formation, there was something inherent in the formation that we couldn't quite get out of all these parts of the formation or the sites. So that's kind of where we started. And also, it's important to note that Clements worked closely with staff from the Soil Conservation Service in the 20s and 30s when he worked in Santa Barbara, and he also worked in around Tucson. Now, out of that, even though Clements left University of Nebraska in 1907, 1908, Bessie stayed and was a very influential educator and administrator at the University of Nebraska. And one of his students was Clarence Corstian. Clarence Corstian got his undergraduate degree at the University of Nebraska and then went to work for the Forest Service. And in 1919, he wrote a paper in what was then called a journal called Plant World. Plant World became Ecology, the journal Ecology. And in that paper, Corstian described native vegetation as a criterion of site. And in particular, he was interested in the delineation of sites via the use of indicator plants for revegetation. And that was revegetation post-clear cutting or post-fire. So he applied those concepts of Clementsian ecology to those sites in a way to develop protocols for revegetating sites or restoring sites. At about the same time, Arthur Sampson wrote some papers, and in particular, the most influential one was probably succession as a factor in range management. Would anybody like to guess where he went to school? He was a student of Bessie's at the University of Nebraska. And he took the Clementsian concepts and, again, broke those down at an individual site level, but still using the concept of indicator plants to predict the formative factors in both in terms of both climate and soils on that vegetation. And he was most interested in the application of these concepts to develop protocols for guiding revegetation after disturbance in the western U.S., and that disturbance was primarily erosion after overgrazing. The more that theory got tested, the more the Clementsian theory got tested, even though it was being widely applied, the more it got tested from a theoretical standpoint, the more it was found to be wanting. And there are two very influential people that came along between the 1930s and 40s that tested that concept of the regional climax, and that was that everything within that region was controlled by the climate. There was a climatic climax, and then the variability within that was attributable, Clements said, to time and the development over time. In particular, Alfred Tansley, the British ecologist, in a paper called The Use and Abuse of Vegetational Concepts and Terms, came up with the idea of the polyclimax, or what he called the ecotope. And the ecotope was the first mention of what we would now call a site as we know it. And then later, during the 40s and early 50s, Robert Whitaker, an ecologist at Washington State University, wrote a paper called The Consideration of Climax Theory, and the climax as a population and pattern. And in that paper, he really explored the influence of very small scale influences like soil, topography, microtopography on plant community development, and how that created the pattern that we see as a climax. So the alternative to Clementsian regional climaxes was we had these very nuanced, very subtle, and highly variable plant communities distributed out on the landscape in a pattern that was predictable primarily due to soils. And that was where we then moved into probably the best application. Now, I'm not just saying this because I'm a rangeland ecologist, but probably the best application of a prevailing scientific theory to application for management. And in the 40s, Dr. Dijksterhuis, E.J. Dijksterhuis, wrote several influential papers on the condition of management in rangelands based on quantitative ecology. And this was notable because he took that polyclimax theory and actually reduced that down to what he called the edaphic climax. So it was a very definitely within a climatic region, a soil property controlled pattern. And those patterns, those soils, were delineated into range sites. Those range sites had, for each of those range sites, they had a climax plant community that was associated with it in the absence of disturbance. And Dyke said that that climax plant community could be used to as a target or a measure, if you measure the departure of the current vegetation from the climax plant community, you could quantitatively determine the development of succession on that site, whether it was succession post-disturbance or regression away from that target plant community. You could actually put a number on that, put a category on that, and use that to assess the impacts of your management decisions, use that to assess the impacts of your management and to assess land condition. And this one was particularly important because from about mid-40s or so through the late 80s, we used range condition to make policy decisions, to design programs, and to do on-the-ground conservation planning. I don't know of any application of a scientific theory that has been so well integrated into the way an action agency operates. Now, in terms of current development, we've sort of gone through all that. Again, all that was really based around, I think, Clementsian ecology with the idea of a climax plant community. Clement's original proposal was that it was a regional climatic climax covering very large areas. As we gained more experience and we improved the number of our observations and the quality of our observations, really what we did was break that down into smaller pieces. But that climax plant community really remained the way that we assessed the health of a site or departure from that climax plant community. We've gone away from that pretty significantly over the last 15 years. In 1997, the National Range and Pasture Handbook introduced the ecological site as the next step. And the biggest change in that was that we interpreted ecosystem behavior as non-equilibrial, both in the regional scale, in the landscape scale, and at the site scale. And that is that rather than one climax plant community as the endpoint, there was a possibility of multiple stable endpoints. When we did that, we brought in a much greater array of land uses and land and products, and those products now we call ecosystem services. So for any given site, originally the concept was developed and applied to rangelands with the assumptions that they would be grazed, livestock production was the primary product, everything fit fairly nicely. As we went in the mid-90s from the Soil Conservation Service to the Natural Resources Conservation Service, our horizons expanded tremendously. We were more interested in more ecosystem services, and ecological sites give us the opportunity to do that. So our applications will go beyond rangelands to include forests, pastures, croplands, any kind of land. And we're currently working on a rangeland interagency ecological site manual. It's a collaboration between two departments, USDA and the Department of Interior. So in summary, that site concept in NRCS history, in Soil Conservation Service and NRCS history, really preceded the formation of an agency to control soil erosion, and it really more or less parallels the soil survey. The concepts of a site, whether it's range, pasture, forest, have been integral to all the functions that we do, and those functions are policy functions, program functions, or on-the-ground conservation functions. The concepts that underlie how we group soils together and how we make management determinations and assess the effectiveness of those management applications are really what the agency does, and that site concept is integral to all those functions. And in addition to the site concept having a big influence on the way NRCS operates, certainly NRCS has contributed greatly to the basic concepts and applications of the site. Now, a more unified approach, which we're currently embarking on, known as ecological sites and ecological site descriptions, is only going to strengthen those applications and the utility of that information. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you very much.